Why did we choose Zencastr? Because it was a perfect fit. Zencastr allowed us to be able to record, download our audio and video without hassle. It's a platform that supported us as a growing podcast and still supports us now, knowing that we're trying to build and grow something. Being a part of Zencastr was just great for us, knowing that we're in two different locations but are able to record like we're in the same room. And it's so easy. It's now super easy to record a podcast with Zencastr. All you gotta do is log in using your browser and start recording a high-quality podcast right away. Record studio-quality sound and up to 4K video with your guests. Feel a sense of Zen, knowing Zencastr's multi-layered backups ensure you always have your recordings in the highest quality, even if the connection is unstable. Have you ever worried about what you sound like? Zencastr's post-production process makes you sound buttery smooth. It automatically removes those ums and ahs in your recording, and it removes those awkward pauses in the conversation as well. Set the right podcast loudness and levels while reducing background noise with the click of a button. Go to Zencastr.com/pricing and use our code STTPPodcast, and you'll get 30% off your first month of any Zencastr paid plan. We want you to have the same experience as we do for all our podcasting content.
You know they want staring point, you know we straight to the point. Bull Chris with assists, fast breaks like a joint splitting head. Bull J with the J, we throwing heat, no gas, that's a touchdown pass. You know just how we coming, so it's nothing left to say. Now they hardly can guard me like Dirk fade away. You know just how we coming, so it's nothing left to say. Yeah, you know just how we coming, so it's nothing left to say. They want staring point, you know we straight to the point. They want staring point, you know we straight to the point. They want staring point, you know we straight to the point. They want staring point, you know we straight to the straight to the
Teamy 76, bringing us into episode number 181 of Straight to the Point. My name is Chris, here my guy J Doug.
What up, what up, what up, what up? Basketball, 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 basketball.
Yes.
Timmy.
The great game of basketball. Sometimes it gives you incredible highs. Oftentimes, if you're a Sixers fan, incredible lows. But
all the time.
But we'll talk more than just Sixers. We'll talk Orlando, Cleveland going 7. My Magic. Boston, Miami. Pacers, Bucks. My Pacers. We'll talk about the West, OKC, just, you know, wiping their feet and sending the Pelicans to Galveston.
Easiest sweep ever. Easiest sweep ever.
Get out of here. Just get out of here with this nonsense.
Just every game was
people
just
tried
easy.
People tried to hype up New Orleans to me. Come on.
That was horrible.
Listen, when I was 2 years ahead of New Orleans. You remember? Remember I was on this show and I predicted that New Orleans would be the one seed in the West. And what did they do? Embarrass me. And so what have I been doing in turn? Pointing out every downfall of the New Orleans Pelicans. I will be here present, front and center for the downfall of the Pellies.
Yeah, they've been pretty trash.
We'll talk about OKC and we'll definitely talk about OKC and their quest for a title. We'll talk about Clippers, Dallas, the Clips doing the Clips thing,
This Mavs OKC series is going to be something special. That is the series we wanted to see.
Yes, it is. I am so eager to see what comes out of that. But Jared, of all the series, yes, I didn't mention Minnesota and Phoenix because who cares about Minnesota?
Yeah, I don't.
Whatever. Jared, let's start with the series that's had the most ripple effect so far that we've seen. Lakers in 5 against Denver. People were talking about Lakers in 7.
It was possible if they won game 2. It would have been possible if they won game 2.
People were talking about Lakers in 7, and now we're talking about the Lakers on their search again for a new coach. They might as well just let Bron coach the team and play. Like, pull a Bill Russell.
That's what J.J. Redick's there for.
And play.
I mean, the Lakers are like Tinder, bro. They just swipe right on any coach they see. They're like Tinder.
I know JJ had some interviews. Interview for the Sixers job before Nick Nurse got it. Interview for, I think, the Charlotte job.
Yeah, he's still in contention for that thing. Did they hire someone? They didn't hire anybody, so he's still in contention, I believe.
But coaching the Lakers as your first job and you have not coached before?
It's not bad.
Obviously, it's not bad like for a resume thing, but it's like, yo, like you really want to walk into that?
I can't even say it'll be good for a resume thing because look at Steve Nash hasn't gotten a job since, and he had a winning record.
I think maybe part of that is like Steve Nash don't want to do it again. Like he don't.
Probably not because dealing with the headache of superstars as is, and then you had 3 of the worst headaches on your team at the same time. So it was like maybe 2.5 headaches. I wouldn't call KD a headache except like one season where he was a headache. After that, it's just been straight ball for him. But Harden and Kyrie were like the two biggest headaches at that period of time, and it's only been like downhill from there. Well, downhill for one, Kyrie's on an upwards trend. It's been real nice to see Kyrie just blow out and have fun again. No. Jaden Redick could do it. I know Rondo was like a name there. They want Ty Lue, but I don't see Ty Lue leaving the Clippers. Like, I don't see
I don't see Ty Lue leaving the Clippers because I don't think it's a chance that the Clippers would even let him.
No.
They throw, here go a blank check.
Balmer's a money bag. Balmer spends money. He's not worried about the luxury tax. You can already tell he's kind of prepping and vetting. Like, I know Peter Tucker's going to be gone, but they're going to more than likely, as much as they can, try and bring back Harden and what is his name? Harden and PG. And then after that, Ty Lue's like either first or second in line after those two, right? Like, then they fill out the roster.
Yeah, it's going to be. I think the blame for the Lakers is always going to be pointed at whoever's in charge.
Yeah.
Whenever they don't. And the Lakers are kind of, they're one of those franchises, like one of those vanity franchises. They can't afford to go through a rebuild. You know what I'm saying?
Ever, because they spend too much money.
They're too valuable to the NBA for them to really be like them lean years when Kobe was hurt and the team stunk.
It was just D'Lo and Randall. Yeah, and watching them televised was horrible.
Yeah, watching them on national television. You know what I'm saying?
It was bad. They were the Wizards at one point, and we were just like, man, this is bad. Like that, it was bad. And we were watching Lonzo.
Yeah.
Even the Lonzo LeBron year, we're just like, man, this ain't great basketball either. Like it was pretty bad. So.
And part of that is because you have to.
The special guest appearance.
Okay. Last time you said it, and it didn't. No one knew what you were talking about, and I didn't explain to people what happened.
Well, now you have the dog. Go out as day.
We'll see. We'll see. But you gotta have opportunity where it's you're catering to LeBron. You're going to cater to that one. And coach included has to cater to that guy. And look at what happened with Ty Lue. Ty Lue, and for all intents and purposes, every coach caters to your star a bit. But Ty Lue was one of those guys that held Bron accountable. Mm-hmm. Didn't let Bron skate on everything. Bron is going to walk all over weak coaches, like weak, powerless coaches. And in L.A., who has all the power there? It's Bron.
I'm not even going to lie to you. Beefing with D'Lo is like one of the worst things you could do as well as a head coach. The back and forth that D'Lo and Ham were going through, even in his post press, I don't know if it was a real quote or not, him talking about when one guy is like having a straight 10 games of playing bad, I'm like, dude, we know who you're talking about. Like,
here's the thing, though. He's apparently made these little veiled shots at D'Lo and at Reeves and at...
Yeah, all of them, basically. Besides LeBron and AD, which he knows he can't, because that's like, again...
That's the power. Like, that's where the power is.
But then AD already called you out and said, we don't know what we're doing sometimes with both ends in the floor. Oh, that's it. Like, when you said that in the middle of the season, AD, it's over. Season's good. Season's done. I don't care if you switch it around, turn... I don't care. Season's done.
Like, and they had this little stretch at one point where they were playing well and they had gotten kind of out of that playing range right around, I want to say late January, I'm sure. Maybe late January, early February, somewhere, maybe even late February now, I think about it, but whatever. They got into a stretch of runs where they were playing great basketball. You know, they were closing out on defense. They were, you know, the rotations, as shaky as they had been, were starting to short. Like, they were producing, maybe in spite of who was on the floor. But when they faced Denver and where they had leads in every one of those games, they were in every one of those games, and they found a way to lose. They found another way to lose. So I don't think J.J. Redick, I don't think whoever, like, what coach is out there?
Again, at this point, it's really just whoever they feel is going to be the best fit. Rondo's there if you want to take Rondo.
Yeah, okay, but but you're talking about first year, first time.
I'm not bringing back Frank Vogel.
And like, I don't know if Frank Vogel wants to.
Would Ty Lue, if you can snag him, then you're really banking on LeBron coming back. Remember, LeBron's a free agent as well. You're banking on LeBron coming back if you're bringing Ty Lue in, because Ty Lue's not coming if LeBron's not coming back. Like, he's not about to coach an LeBron-less AD team. It's just. He'd rather stay with the Clippers, and you just got Kawhi to an extension, so you have a lot more breathing room and growing room than AD at this point in time. I'm not saying AD played bad. He had a great series. It's just
And his numbers now sometimes didn't reflect that, but he had a great
series. It's just where we're at now, 80's far okay, from hold on, where hold on, he was
let me pump the brakes on great series, because he did consistently not show up in the fourth quarter.
Well, I feel like at that point he was just gassed out going for rebounds. Like Anthony Davis was
okay,
like,
but
he was playing very good.
But he didn't get the rebounds, and he didn't like him. The effort, yes, I can applaud the effort, but the result didn't.
Yeah, no,
the results weren't there. So,
like, and then again, in that last game, 17 and 15 rebounds. It's cool now because again, like, at least he was committing to the glass all series. He committed to the glass. Like that, the game they won where he had like 25 and 23. Like you're committing to the glass, but then it's like you have to. Because nobody else was going to do it if it wasn't for you.
Right.
Maybe LeBron, but that was it.
Yeah, so my point is this. Lakers, I think, are in a no-win situation.
Yeah, they're too many guys.
Roster stinks. Roster stinks, so they're going to have to figure that out. You're going to have a first-time, potentially first-year head coach that's learning the job on the fly, even if it is J.J. Redick or Rajon Rondo. Or whomever, Steve Nash, whatever. Who knows? Whatever. But what if it's are you gonna bring in a retread? You gonna bring in like Budenholzer? Like you gonna bring
I forgot Budenholzer's available. I would consider that.
Like, why did Budenholzer get fired?
Defense.
Like
team.
It's like.
But then again, like I ain't gonna lie. Guess who lost his first round too? Doc Rivers. So then like. I'd much rather Budenholzer than Doc. That's just, again, that might be personal bias or just a factual opinion.
I think Doc might be upset he cashed his chip in mid-season.
Way too early. His chip in too early.
That could have been right front and center.
Like, he could have waited. Lakers. Like, yeah, honestly, either the Lakers gig or like, even if you think about it, if he had waited till after the season, because the result would have probably been the same. He waited till after the season, this gig would have still been there for him. In hindsight, 2020, and now we'll get you another.
Well, hold on. Hear me out. Because I think the same reason people are giving excuses to Doc now, I think Adrian Griffin would have got those excuses because now Adrian Griffin gets the credit for the 30-13 start, right?
And that's fine.
Adrian Griffin, first year Adrian Griffin
would have still been fired because your two best players hate him. Gone. Even if the season ended up, and then this season being, I still think it would have ended the same way because the injuries would have occurred, not whatever. At the end of the day, only credit Griffin would have got literally was just saying, oh, yeah, man, you fired Terry Stotts, or Terry Stotts resigned, but you were beefing with him.
Terry Stotts is also available, too.
Now, Dame don't like you, which is true. Dame don't like you. Giannis really don't like you. Like, he wanted you, and now he found out, like, you just can't handle it. So he's like, I need you out. So there goes Doc. Insert Doc again, who's already, you know, in the ear whispering. In the ear like, hey, man, this is the play you need to run. Like all that, so you're good regardless. Bucks, we knew they were gonna lose the series as soon as Giannis was out, and then Dame lost the game too. Oof, Dame played out of his mind, and he left the game. You're done. More importantly, with the Lakers series though, just to wrap that whole thing up, man, we knew the Nuggets were gonna win. It was just they're gonna sweep or win in five. They won in five. I don't know where the Lakers head coach is gonna be. I don't even know where the Lakers rebuild looks, because if LeBron leaves and like literally walks. It makes things easier for them money-wise because now, like, you know, you're not capped into paying LeBron $45-plus million a year at 39, 40 years old. But it's like, where do you go from there? Like, are you now finally going to start considering moving AD even though he's pushing 30 or 31? Like, how old is Anthony Davis now? I think he's pushing 30, 31. So do you finally decide to move on from him? Or do you
keep the team in that?
So I'm moving that off. Sixers have the best – I like the Sixers the most when it comes to this offseason. I hated the way we lost, but I like the most of what the offseason brings because you're so locked in. You have three guys guaranteed to your roster right now. No, honestly, I think it's just two. Two guys guaranteed to the roster because Maxey technically doesn't have a roster spot.
Well,
to get signed.
He has to get signed, and they can get up out of Paul Reed's contract. There's a loophole.
Yeah, so, yeah, he's not – but that's what I'm saying. He's not a guaranteed contract. The only two guaranteed contracts are Embiid and Ricky Council the fourth. I like him anyway. I think his game is good. I think it really translate next season depending on the roster shakes up if he gets playing time or not. So Paul Reed now non-guaranteed, so you could kind of trade him if you want to or keep him.
Let me ask you this, right? Because you mentioned a couple things that I want to touch base on. You talked about how you didn't like how they lost. It's not that I didn't like that. That game six, I was really like you guys, and we were texting in real time. like you were expecting the rollover and die Sixers, right?
It felt like it at first.
It felt like it. I could see that, right? But I wasn't there. You know, like I still like I felt like this team had something different, and to my shock, they did. You know,
the what buddy, I'm saying? The buddy effect worked in that
the
game.
The Buddy Hield thing worked because they got back into it. Like they got back into it with campaign, the energy, movement. Now he's attacking on defense. Like they need. This series has proven why the Knicks have been as successful as they've been without Randall losing pieces, bringing an OG, whatever, is that their core guys got consistency and they have effort.
Yep.
Like you're not going to, you're 9 times out of 10, you're not going to out effort the Knicks. You're not
going to. That gonna dog, out-effort. Dude, is that thing right. That we always talk about.
We always talk about this, right? But this is the first time that I've actually seen a Sixer team have a little bit of it, just like a little just semblance of I'm not going to roll over
three guys. Yeah, for three guys.
I'm not going to roll over and die. Now, it's three guys, right? We talk about it's Embiid, Maxey, and who's your third guy?
My third, with the hustle in him?
Yeah.
Nick Batum.
Okay,
cool. Yeah, he's the only one that had the hustle. I'm not be honest. Like, he's the only one that had the hustle. Like, literally was crashing offensive rebounds. Nobody else was doing it. Nobody else was crashing defensive rebounds besides
him. They needed those veteran pieces that – and, like, I get it. Next year, they may bring back Covington. They may
– I honestly wish he had played this series. I wish we had had him because I feel like he would have brought that, too. I mean, I guess Lowry and Spurs brought that dog. Like, his defensive effort in certain games was there. But
Lowry's – you know, 100.
Yeah, so he's done. And like, he shouldn't even start. Like, that's the only Nick Nurse gripe I have is Lowry starting. That was my only gripe.
But I don't really mind Lowry starting because it takes the ball in pressure situations out of Maxey's hands, where he has shown, even in this postseason, that at times he is a little bit erratic with
the ball. Last game. Yeah, in that last game, it showed
up. Last game, and then in like game two, like, he came out and he was all over the place, right?
And then again, the no calls is like getting real outlandish.
I think the no call thing is a thing, but Brunson being able to just flop and
dude, the same thing Trae Young got banned for. Trae Young got banned for that like 2 years ago. Now they're letting
him play. Knicks fans 2 years ago saw that and their heads exploded.
I mean, they see Brunson doing all that, and dude, the head thing is so crazy, especially when he's literally headbutting you to get a foul. Oof.
He almost knocked out Oubre.
But it's like, again, though, I'm still like, even then, I'm just like, okay, that's something you got to fight through. The out-rebounding was just like egregious. Like the Sixers were getting destroyed.
And part of that is Embiid's health, which is always going to be a factor. Like, you know, you're going to.
And nobody hustles for loose balls.
And they don't. And part of that is Tobias standing there being a
Tobias going to hustle for loose balls. I mean, he checked out. You could see he physically checked out of the series. I don't care how much effort he said he was putting in. He checked out. He was out of the series. He was out of the season because he knew he wasn't coming.
Here's where I knew it was. In retrospect, I knew I should have known it was going downhill. There's a loose ball at around the top of the free throw line, 4 or so minutes. It was like closer to the end of game 6. If Tobias kind of lunges at it, he's within arm's reach.
It's his. He's 6'9".
And what happens is he kind of chops his feet, and he's like, and he kind of gets stuck. And then Josh Hart comes and takes the ball, as usual, and then something happens. Because if you get that many opportunities.
I think the player you're talking about was that one that Brunson hit his first three of the two. That
maybe.
In that 6-point lead.
I can't remember, but I can see still, it.
Like, Tobias – at the end of the day,
it's a microcosm of what the experience of Tobias has been.
Five years of this. We've had Tobias for five. Only player to play out his full contract.
Five and a half. Because remember,
he's the only guy to play out his entire contract. God, that's gross.
On the same team. Part of it is the Sixers. The Sixers were under in that – like, the Sixers were on the bad end of that contract from the jump.
Yep, from the start.
And then didn't want to pay more money to get up out of it. So
didn't, yep, And then it's even worse. Like, dude, the guy's market is abysmal. But, he has no market, to be honest. I don't care if you tell me the Pistons won him again. He has no market.
Ricky Council swears by him. He said he loved what Tobias did for him. And
I'm not counting him out as a veteran, or maybe I don't think about leader. I think differently of, as especially when you're on the court leader and off the court leader. Maybe you're good off the court where you can make good connections, but on the court he doesn't step up for me. But I don't knock him as a vet. He probably does give you inspirational quotes and speeches, and he can tell you some good stuff on the sideline when he's playing like the gutter, because he has to do it for himself all the time.
Man, bro, listen, I played like, in Detroit one time.
Like, listen, man, the bathroom mirror talks that he probably does for the players is what he has to do for himself every morning when he gets out of bed, realizing that he's really mid and he got overpaid for a contract. Hey, shout out to him and his pop. You got your bread, because that's the last time you're seeing that much money ever. In the NBA,
It don't matter. He got the money. That's it.
He got the money. Hey, shout out to him.
Respect to him.
Shout out to Long Island, because that's who he did it for. Shout out to Long Island, but gutter tier. I'm glad we finally off the contract. I'd much rather just see him play for another team and then hey man, there you go with your 20-something points a game.
Let me ask you this before we move back on to other things.
More important.
How do you fix the roster?
Bring Jimmy back.
Is that your one move?
No, I'm probably re-signing Buddy. I'm considering it. I'm strongly considering re-signing Buddy if you have the option, but I'm not paying him a lot. I'm not paying him a lot, but I could strongly reconsider bringing back Buddy. I'd bring back Batum, depending on I'd really pay attention to this Olympics, right? Because Embiid and Batum are playing. You know they're both going to play. Embiid now has all the rest in the world to get his knee right to play, so he's going to play. Batum's going to play. I want to see how Batum's really playing in this Olympics, where I'm just like, if I'm the GM, scouts, everything, I want to see if he still got it. Like, he just had it this last half a season or middle of the season. I want to see if he still got that in him. I'm bringing him back. I'm bringing Buddy back potentially, bringing Jimmy in for sure. I'd much rather bring in Jimmy Butler at 35 than PG at 35 than KD at 36. That's just where I'm at for me, because this city really needs that dog in him. Like, if Jimmy's having a bad game, guess what? He's locked in defensively. I've seen him get like 5 steals and have bad games, right? I've seen him get some blocks and have bad games, where he's the guy yelling at you saying, hey, he'll turn it up for Max. You're like, yo, he'll be screaming at him mic'd up. He'll be screaming at him beat mic'd up. I don't see these other two guys really doing it. And right now, the Sixers need the vocals leader. We got two guys that can step up and make plays, and B can get you 30, Max can get you 30. We need a vocal start out leader, and that's what they're really missing.
So what you're saying is Embiid is a 2.
Now he is. No. Embiid healthy is a 1. Embiid healthy is a 1. Think about the level he played at when he was healthy.
I'm not saying level of play when I say a 2.
I'm talking about leadership.
Leadership.
Yeah, he's always been a 2. Always been that. He's a 1 this year because, he's been doing it for Maxey, but he's a 2.
I don't see Maxey as a 1.
I don't think Maxey's a 1 either. Scoring-wise, I know where he's going.
He's a scorer. I think – I mean, if you want to say bring Jimmy back, I would say cool, right? I'm not going to argue with that.
As the vocal leader.
But let me say this. If I'm running the Sixers, my first call is to Brooklyn. How much you want for Bridges?
Bridges is
– No, hear me out.
I've ruled out guys.
No. Hear me out. My first move is to bring in Bridges. I re-sign Oubre. I re-sign Batum. I re-sign Hill.
That's fine.
I go out. Hold on. Hear me out. You go out and you get you a backup big, because that's think the most important thing is you – here's the caveat. You got to have a backup big that's effective enough that the offense doesn't degenerate into nonsense if Embiid is not on the floor.
Bring back Drummond.
You can't have Paul Reed, and you can't have – like, Paul Reed, if you want to say –
Bring back Drummond.
Whatever, cool. Drummond, cool, right? But the problem is also, will the offense devalue if he's on the floor too long, right? You got to have somebody
Not with the lineup you just mentioned. He should be good.
Right. Okay, so that, it also depends on lineup. Because if it's Jimmy and Drummond,
that'll work. That works though.
You know what I'm saying? But Bam and Jimmy. There needs to be a lot of moving parts here, right?
Like, you need a lot of bigs that can cut basket. That's what you need off the bench for him.
You got to be able. You need movement, right? So yeah, let's say Council is another piece that we see more.
I like him a lot.
Let's see if we get a campaign energy guy, Let's see if we get a Tyus Jones, whose name
I want him. You know, I've been wanting him too.
Let's see if the Sixers maybe make a big swing for a, and I say big swing in terms of maybe would pay a little bit more because they have it to spend, and there isn't a top tier guy that I think is worth a super max type thing. I wouldn't give PG a max. I wouldn't give.
You got to though. That's the worst part. You got to give him 4 years.
I wouldn't give PG a max. Jimmy, I would do it just because.
Well, you're giving him a contract extension, not really a max. Jimmy's still under 2 years.
Well, whatever. Yeah, you know what I'm saying. But you got to see what the conversation will be with Miami. Yeah. Whatever.
Jimmy's easier. Again, Jimmy's easier if he wants out. Mikhail's not easy to get. I feel like the hypothetical hurts because, like, dude, the Nets aren't dumb. They're keeping Mikhail.
The Nets aren't dumb, but Mikhail didn't play.
Yeah, hey, I don't care. He didn't play great because you find out his head coach was making a style around Ben Simmons still. Like, Ben Simmons is still Ben Simmons. He's not.
Whatever happened in Brooklyn, we'll see how that transpires.
Yeah, it's about to be real different now.
You're asking me, I say.
But I'm saying, give me the realistic. Like, the guys we know are available now, yeah, dude. Would you take Ingram if you couldn't get Mikhail? Would you take Ingram before the other three? And the other three are mentioning is Jimmy, PG, KD. You taking Ingram?
I don't know if I would take Ingram before Jimmy.
And then, like, you know, last but not least, are you pushing your chips on the table for Bron? I'm not, personally. I'd like it, just for
What do I mean by push your chips on the table?
Listen, LeBron.
Let me ask you this. How much? What are you going to say?
You're giving Maxey his max. Boom, that's locked. After that, you still have another for a max contract. LeBron's not going to take a max contract. What he's going to do is take the max money from a contract and just take a 2-year, $100 million deal. That means you're giving him $50 a year.
And that's exactly what I would do.
That's too much.
If you're asking me, do I sign LeBron James?
That's too much.
LeBron James solves multiple problems the Sixers have had.
That's true.
He's a wing perimeter threat. Now, how good of a perimeter threat he is.
Real inconsistent.
Differs, real inconsistent, but he's at least a threat. He's going to garner attention, right? He can play off the ball if you need him to. He can play with the ball if you need him to. He's also a facilitator. He can facilitate the offense if it gets down to crunch time and 5 minutes left on the clock. He can drive and kick. He can give the Embiid. He can float on the perimeter and get an Embiid pass in this hypothetical scenario that we're talking about, right?
But my issue just is he's the same as like – not same. Sorry. Very bad choice of words. He's better than Tobias, but he's in the same spot as Tobias, and that's why it doesn't work with Embiid because, again, you're a dunker spot guy.
But,
and he hates the dunker spot, but he's going to be
– But hear me out, right? Don't put him at the dunker spot.
But then where are you going to put him B? Because, again, LeBron's a basket guy. You can't put him B in the corner. I'm not seeing him B in the corner.
No, but you can easily do a pick and roll with Embiid and Bron.
You can do that as often as he does with AD. That works until fourth quarter comes where now, remember, AD's regular to the corner if LeBron's going on his one-on-ones.
But do you have as much one-on-one with LeBron?
You got to. He still got to get his touches. Still got to
eat. I understand he's still going to eat. But
he
he don't have. If he wants to eat, right, and that would also solve a fourth quarter Embiid problem.
It's a Maxey issue too,
Maxey issue, it would solve a little bit of everything. It would solve a little bit of everything, and Bron don't have to take. Bron can take pass the load off the Maxey in spurts, pass the load off the Embiid. And it takes the pressure off of Embiid to carry everything for 82 games. It takes the pressure off Bron to carry everything for 82 games. And it takes the pressure off of Maxey to carry everything for 82 games if they can evenly distribute and stay healthy throughout the season. Big if when you got guys with bad knees and dudes that's pushing 40. I wouldn't do it for Bron I would be real hesitant. I shouldn't say I wouldn't do it.
I told you, I'm real hesitant on it.
But –
I mean, again,
I would love to see Embiid and Bron and Maxey on the floor. Clutch guys, by the way, so is Nick Nurse.
Your best bet to do it is to watch this Olympics, right? We're going to see Embiid and LeBron how they fully work on the court. If they work in the Olympics, right, which is like more condensed, it's less spacing. They work there, then Chris, I'll text you like, yo, Mo, I might be locked into this Bron move, right? But if it doesn't look good and it look real clunky,
I'm out. If it worked, you know what the rumor going to be.
Oh, LeBron to Philly. Especially if all the footage is going to be them two hugging and high-fiving the most, which I can see happening. Because
it's going
to
go both ways. It's going to go both ways. It's going to be Embiid to the Lakers. It's going to be Bron to the Sixers.
And then don't forget who the starting point guard is. I can see these three guys being the biggest headlines, Steph, LeBron, Embiid, because they're going to be like, oh, Stephen Embiid.
Or all three of them on the Lakers.
Or you're just like, oh no, look at how LeBron and Embiid are hugging or dapping up when they make this crazy pick and roll wild play because Embiid's going to be healthy. Like, I see it all happening in real time right now. The only thing is just how does it look? Because the only thing I know how it looks and it works was Jimmy and Embiid worked. The leadership styles worked. The play, their friendship is still alive. They still to this day hang out, text each other, friends.
All right, cool. All right, we beat that.
Give me Jimmy Butler back.
Okay, we've beat the horse to death. Jared, talk about Jimmy Butler's current team, the Heat.
Trash.
Okay, talk about the team they played in the Boston Celtics.
Yeah. They're good. Just it's real shaky. Like it's a real shaky team, Chris. I don't have a reason to say they're not winning a championship if they play together. But now, like, how bad is Porzingis' calf injury? Right? Like, how bad is it? Is he going to recover for the second round?
I mean, I've heard people speculate. Does he need to even play?
Yes.
The second round.
Yes. And dude, the Celtics team isn't winning.
People are on national television saying, "Oh no, you can rest him to the finals." No. What?
No.
What?
I'm watching the Heat game and they can't do it.
Hold on. If they play Cleveland, Cleveland's got nothing but bigs in the paint. They can't wait to just kill Al Horford.
Can't wait to kill Tatum with the rebounds, too.
And if they play Orlando, Orlando got nothing but bigs that can't wait to kill Al Horford and they got bigger Tatum.
Like, the only issue. Porzingis is the crucialest piece to winning this team, for this team to win a championship. And their whole team knows it. Jaylen Brown's come out and vocally said it. Why? Because what Porzingis brings as a starting center, but also as that stretch, do-it-all unicorn that he still is, right? He still has that game in him. Just because the point production is going a little bit down, he's still that guy. Yeah, they need him. He's crucial. He's very crucial. Like, Derek White is very crucial. Like, you lose Porzingis and Derek White, and you're stuck with Drew, Tatum, Jaylen Brown, and Horford. It's good. It can still get you places, but I don't think it wins you a chip. I think Porzingis wins you a chip if he's healthy. So it depends on that calf injury. But we knew they were going to beat the Heat. I'm glad the Heat got a game. That makes it more exciting. I'm glad they got a game. But, man, we knew. As soon as Jimmy was hurt, you're like, oh, it's over. Because I've seen enough of Bam to know you're not – come on, bro. That's what I was going to say. Come on, bro.
Bam, a nice piece. There's no disrespect to Bam, but he's not going to take your team over the top, especially to a team that – the one seed by far in the East. Like,
you can't convince me you can win a chip with a 6'9 center. You can't convince me unless you're the Warriors. You can't convince me of that.
Oh, Bam on the Warriors would be disgusting.
He would be what wins a championship, a 6'9 center. But you can't convince me other team could do it.
Jared,
Bam got to the finals and still didn't do it.
Talk about a team that hasn't gotten back to the finals since they've won it. Milwaukee lost to Indiana in the first round. They were injured. Yeah, they have Doc, but.
Even with Doc, the injuries, it was the writing was on the wall.
Pat Bev, your boy throwing basketballs at people because
for allegedly
saying 1-2-3 Cancun,
and then also just like disrespecting a female media member because she's not subscribed to his podcast. Like, come on, dude. Like,
but apparently he's an equal opportunity disrespecter.
Come on, bro. We're better than that. We're better than that. Pat Bev is like still one of a kind guy. He's better than that.
He is
how emotions affect him the most, and he thought they had a chance to come back in that series, and they did. Hurt them.
No, that he's a, so like here's what I said throughout the Sixers series when they played the Knicks. I think things would have been different if they had Pat Bev, and I'm not saying they could have got any closer, and I'm not saying Pat Bev would have put the team over the top, but I think some of the chippiness. Like you could have baited Hart, baited DiVincenzo. You could have baited some of them guys. You know what I'm saying? Because that even without him, that tension was there a little bit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Pat Bev would have ran on the court with a steel chair and would have started the Royal Rumble. But like I'm saying that to say like that certain teams you need that guy that's like the enforcer type. James Johnson. Mm-hmm. That's why he got hired. Literally. That's why he got hired. You saw the interaction between him and Portis, Dame and Halliburton. I said it on the pod. People dissed me. I said it on the pod that Indiana had Milwaukee's number. Oh, but are they going to win in a 7-game series? I get it. Milwaukee was injured. But Indiana went out there and wiped their feet with Milwaukee, except for game four.
Yeah.
Or game three. Whatever game Milwaukee ended up winning, like 122-96.
Yeah.
And even in that game, Indiana was there for like three quarters of the way, and then the bottom just fell out.
Yep. It's time for the Milwaukee to really start considering moving off of Brook Lopez. I think you can keep Chris Middleton. I think he really still does fit with
Dame. You know a team that could use a Brook Lopez.
A lot. I'm not even gonna lie to you. There's actually a lot of them. Yeah, them too, but there's a lot of them actually that could use a Brook Lopez. But yeah, I think it's time to start moving off of that. It gives you just more spacing for Giannis as well now that Dame's available.
And I think they got to get younger and they got to get more athletic.
Easily.
Like, Indiana proved that they were younger. Like, Indiana looked like they were running circles
around. Indiana looked soft in that series still, though. Still looks soft in that series. So I'm a little nervous how they're going to play the Knicks. But it wasn't like they wowed me in this series, Chris. Now, without Giannis, you should have blew them out of the water.
Are you disrespecting my Pacers, cuz?
No, I just think
disrespecting.
I just think they're not there yet. It's just a factual statement. I don't think they're there yet. They're going
to take out the Knicks. They're going to do the dirty work for the Sixers. They're going to take out the Knicks.
I wouldn't be mad seeing how
many finals. Pacers in six.
Sure. I just think like right now.
In six. Go to hell, New York.
If the Knicks were to lose that series, that'd be a laughable offense. But
go to hell.
It's easily Boston. I see making the finals. The West.
Unfortunately,
not so sure about the West.
All right, Jared. Let me ask you now, right? Because hold on. Let's talk about Clippers Dallas before we start going down that rabbit
hole. Another good series.
Clippers Dallas. Any thoughts? Should the Clippers blow it up?
No, I'd bring them all back. Besides, maybe I wouldn't keep Russ if I didn't have to pay him.
Where does Russ end up?
He'll start somewhere, or he'll go somewhere. But
Do you see Russ coming off the bench for someone?
Yeah, I don't think he's starting.
Like a Golden State. Like, could he be the Chris Paul?
I don't see him going back to. I don't see him going to Golden State. I would rather him. Nah, I wouldn't want him to go stay.
Real quick. Let's. Where was Russ? Because like I could see him going to Miami.
If Russ wanted to start, I could see I wouldn't see Miami because they just got Terry Rozier and they're probably just banking on. Terry Rozier was a good fit.
Yeah, but
I can see if he's coming off the bench. Then yeah, I can see him off the bench.
You gonna start Rozier at the one?
Yeah, and then I'm still keeping Hero at the two.
Would you bring Hero off the bench?
No. I don't like Hero off the bench. I still like
You don't like what Udonis Haslem said then?
No, I still like Hero as a starter.
Okay.
All right, I think if Russ wants to start and they couldn't get anybody else available, I think I can see him going to the Spurs and starting for the Spurs.
Okay, that's fair. But the Spurs, I think the Spurs want a more dynamic guard.
Yeah, young shooting guy that can shoot the ball.
Exactly. You had the name right. Trae Young, that's who they need.
If they can't get him, then I can see like the backup pick being Russ, and I wouldn't be mad at Russ and Wemby working together. Like it's a very good deal.
It's cool.
It'll win you an extra 10 games, 10-15.
So back to the Clippers, right? I've often called them Sixers West because I've seen so many correlations.
Same thing, yeah. Same correlation. They are.
Same, can't get out their own way.
I think the only thing that they haven't done is made a finals, right? And that's it.
They've never made the finals in history, right?
So, like,
they're finally going to stop being little brother in the crypt.
Got their own stadium, finally. Yeah.
The Intuit Turbo Tax Dome.
Hey.
So now, I'm going to be there. I plan on being there. You kind of in this catch 22 where it's like they got Harden, they got Kawhi. Are they going to keep Paul George? Like,
keep Harden because Harden's not under contract either.
There is no one to one replacements, and do you bring it all back?
I bring all three of those back though,
and you're opening a new stadium too. Like you don't want to.
That's why you bring all three back. Here's our new stadium, and we got a rebuild happening. Great for the fans because cheaper tickets, but you don't want that right now. You want the money returning faster.
Listen, Ballmer. I'm bringing Ballmer. Ballmer ain't become a billion trillionaire by giving away money. So.
Yeah, he spends to get back returns and dividends, and bringing back Harden and PG is a smarter option to do. I'd do it. Without a second, and then you fill out the roster.
But here's the thing that I when I frequently call them Sixers West, and I frequently mention this briefly mentioned this when I was talking about the Sixers. They didn't roll over and die.
No.
The Clippers rolled over and died in games.
In the last two games, yeah.
Rolled over and just checked. Like, you knew from the jump it was over. It was over.
We knew, but again, that's not – we knew exactly what comes after Paul George and Harden both had those, like, stellar game, what, fours? It was great, right? Like, real good shooting. You knew the unders were coming. Because let's be honest, Paul George, as much as I like him as a shooter, he's been real inconsistent shooting lately. 2 for 10 in that final game. Harden was like 1 for 8. Yeah, we knew what was coming. The shooting – and Harden was too efficient the first four games. Too efficient from the three to start hitting in the last – end of the series.
The rap on the Sixers, I always say is I've seen this movie play out before, right?
Same with the Clippers.
Sixers.
Especially if Harden's there. No offense to Harden. It's there.
Harden. I mean, but he's got a resume now. Like, there is a trend, a clear trend where his production falls off the later in the season.
Later in the series, too. And, like, it's game one, he's good. Off. Game three, he's great. He falls off game 4 or 5.
Because teams, I think, and part of it is, teams are able to lock in on tendencies and shut down his – you know, they're able to adjust around him, and he can't continue – like, when it's not working, it really ain't working. He's struggling to find out how to make it work in real time, right?
Yep.
Paul George is the same way. Mm-hmm. Kawhi – if Kawhi's there, is it a different series? Maybe, but Kawhi's health is now a thing, just like Embiid's health, just like whoever is constantly injured. You got to plan for this. And they supposedly planned for this by having Harden, PG, Westbrook. And none of them could carry the ball across the finish line when Kawhi got hurt. And Kawhi played the majority of the season.
Yep.
And got hurt at the end of the season. Didn't really be a factor in the playoffs, and out they go. First round. Done.
Mm-hmm.
And how many times you guys see this movie play out before you start making, you know, before you start making some significant changes? What is the significant change, though? Because I think this is – like, they're stuck. They are the stuck.
They gave up a lot of their bench depth, which I think killed them this playoffs, right? Because who are you going to? They really had nobody go to. I still like the Plumlee move, but it was like, right? Like, you're like, shaky. I still liked Norman Powell, but it's like, that's really your only go-to guy off the bench. Then after Norman Powell, it was like – Mason Plumlee, P.J. Tucker, if you really want to do it, Bones Highland, if you want to do it, Amir Coffey. Like, it's real nasty work, right?
Yeah.
Whereas now, that Mavs team, you and I have spiced it since the trade, and it continued to show us why we spiced it. Getting two guys who've been friends, like, we didn't even know they've been friends since high school.
P.J.
Gafford and P.J. have been friends high school. They've been locked in. I know I'm saying about the inconsistencies of P.J. shooting, but the man defensively has shown me stuff I never saw in Charlotte. Never saw it. I didn't even know he had that defense in him.
Not even just him. They now have a team where they have defenders, and they got guards, and they got bigs.
And the hustle bags too. Josh Green is one of them guys, just like Josh Hart. It's the dude's name, Josh. I swear. Them guys do it. Derek Lively off bench, he could be a starter. He's off bench.
He was starting for them early in the season.
And then Gafford came in, and I see why you brought Gafford as a starter for the toughness. Lively's still trying to get it. He's a little bit skinnier, but off the bench, he's killing the backup bigs on the other team.
He's electric as a backup big, young guy. Can go. They can just throw the ball up, and he can just go and catch it like DeAndre Jordan.
Luka and Kyrie just put another level every game.
And Kyrie every game. Saucing dudes up.
Kyrie's back. He's fully back, dude. Kyrie's back.
I have to mention somebody who's really underrated, slam dunk champion Derrick Jones Jr.
He plays his game right.
Who has now uses his athleticism, can shoot the three, can defend at a high clip.
I like him.
That challenge on Harden at the elbow jump shot, and he barely grazed Harden, if he did at all. It's questionable whether or not he touched him at all. But that's the type of locked in athleticism as your wings.
Yep.
He can go up and you can throw the ball up for Derrick Jones Jr. He's going to go out and try and slam it.
And so it's not like he's scoring on him either.
And you have athleticism and you got Luka.
Like, yeah.
I can see Dallas, if they're playing like this, they can make a run because they have the pieces. Now,
they can bring back Tim Hardaway too. He should be coming back soon.
Yeah, and then you get a guy like Tim Hardaway Jr. who can, if he's hot, you know what I'm saying? Like, so you got options if you're Dallas. I'm just curious to see how teams start to try to, like OKC, like, will they try to attack Kyrie? You try to you know, where do you put Shea? Do you try to get Shea off Luka, or who defends Shea? There's a lot of questions that go on for that. I'm curious to see how that's going to work.
Does Luka find his shot again? Because, oh, Chris,
it's he has not been shooting the ball well lately, but his effectiveness is still there because he still commands the attention. You still are forced to respect that shot. He's a decent facilitator. I don't think he's a great facilitator yet, even though he has the assists. I think he still – there is some times where
– the turnovers are there.
You know, like, you can get a little too loose with it. Like, it's not a matter of seeing the floor. It's a matter of kind of getting it there, and I think that comes with a little bit more maturity and things like that. Like, Luke is still a young guy.
Yep.
But you got to be able to rely on Kyrie. Kyrie's there, you know, not being an issue. Like, we talk, you know – like people have mentioned that maybe Kyrie can be. I think Kyrie has accepted that. And they talked about it a lot on the broadcast too. Like Kyrie is – you can see in this game, he has no problem deferring. He has no problem doing the hustle, the little stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, that's, I like it. You think Kyrie Irving, like a hustle defender type guy? Like,
Mavs can be my sleeper for finals. I'm not going to lie to you. Mavs can be my sleeper for finals. It really depends on how that Nuggets series plays out.
You see my Mavericks, cuz –
Mavs can be the sleeper for me. If OKC doesn't come out like hot, like if OKC comes out hot though, then all right, I'm still locked in for OKC.
But here's OKC though, because you got a lot of the same pieces that Dallas got. You got the athletic big in Chet. You got the wing guys and Dort, Jalen Williams. If you want to throw in Gordon Hayward for shooting and some veteran presence, he's there. Giddey's a decent playmaker. SGA is your star that can do a little bit of everything. I'm curious to see I'm curious to see the rotation, how many minutes the bench is relied on in this series, compared, you know, for OKC, because it's one thing playing New Orleans, like whatever, but like New Orleans didn't have Zion, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, which is, it's easy to beat teams without your star player healthy. Like, it's there.
It's an opportunity. And at Dallas, both guys, as far as we know, are healthy.
I hope they stay healthy. Like, this is the year I like them a lot for a finals run.
And they're looking to try to get to even just out the conference, out the semis for the first time since they won the title.
Yep.
They ain't been back to the conference finals since then. So, we'll see. Phoenix is done. Led by your boy, the mayor of Loserville, Bradley Beal.
No, that's your man. That's your favorite player. I'm a Devin Booker fan still.
The mayor of Loserville.
I'm still a Devin Booker fan. I still think he got it in him. I don't know if he has the leadership in him to win, but I think he can do it.
I think Phoenix is the ultimate example of why I don't want the Sixers to get Paul George.
Especially with all this cap space. Like, this is how you blow it. Your eyes is bigger than your head. Remember like that now, game at the buffet? Your eyes bigger than your head.
Now, if you say, like, you know, Chris, would you sign anybody off the Suns roster? You know, I would be interested in taking a flyer on old Bull, but that's just me.
That might just be you. I don't think I would.
We'll fly on.
I don't think I, because then you might as well just keep Mo Bamba at that point.
I think Bo better than Mo Bamba.
I think barely, but it's not like it's a lot better. Like, I think they're literally like the same.
You know what's crazy? You know what I laugh at and I chuckle about? Orlando had both of them on their roster last year with Mo Wagner and Wendell Carter.
And whoever the other guy, Houston was too. Whoever that guy is too. Like
Caleb Houston, Admiral Schofield. Like, they have all these guys. Yeah, Admiral Schofield. For all you dudes that think I don't watch the Magic.
Yeah, all right, we didn't think you didn't watch the Magic. We know you just didn't watch the Kings. That's what we know you didn't watch.
I still can't name any of the Kings. Davion Mitchell. So Denver, Minnesota, Jared. Give me what you think gonna happen. Give me a prediction right now.
Nuggets in six.
All right, I got Nuggets in seven.
That's fine. All right, that's fine. I'm greedy. I got Nuggets in six.
Because I think I'm torn between six and seven. I think Nuggets win. I think just because the Jokic factor, I think they're going to find just a way to win. But I think Minnesota, as I've sat back and thought about it, Minnesota also has all the pieces that we talk about OKC and Dallas. You know, they got the big wings. Yep. They're the only team that got 2 7-footers that can play at the same time together.
Yeah.
right? Like, legitimately.
Technically three can, sometimes. If you,
three, for real. But, like, legitimately can play at the same time together. And not works, just, not just, like, here and there. Like, legit. Yeah.
It works.
They got the superstar guard. They got the rim protector, rebounder, and Gobert. They got the wing defender in McDaniels. They got the veteran point guard that can handle the ball in times of crisis in Mike Conley. They got the backup big that can come off the bench and score in Naz Reid, who was in, you know, very electric off the bench. Thanks, Jared, for that. So you got it. Like, you got all the pieces. Chris Finch is a head coach of the year candidate nominee.
He lost
to Dagnall. Yeah. But you look at Minnesota; they got all the pieces.
I mean, they're there.
But Denver has proven.
They can win. You know,
they can win. And I think when it's close like that, I think when things are close like they, I think they are. And I've been killing Minnesota all year, but they, after that performance against Phoenix, you gotta respect it. You gotta respect it. And I'm wrong, and I'm clearly here to say I'm wrong.
Yeah, same. I'm with you on it. I'm not mad at you.
So now you can look at them in a different lens. They got the pieces that Denver got. Denver got the hardware. Denver has the resume. You got to defer to Denver. And I think in times like this, you defer to teams that has proven that they can do it. Like, if it's ever close,
it's real simple.
Like, hear me out. They're going to lose. Hear me out, right? Hear me out. If it's Boston and anybody in the East, if it's even remotely close, Denver or Boston gets the benefit of the doubt because they've proven that they can do it up to a point. They can't get over that top of the winning title. But they close.
Boston's winning.
I'm saying any team in the East and it's close, the benefit of the doubt goes to Boston because they've proven at least they can get out the East, right? With Denver, they've won the whole thing.
Yeah.
And they've proven and they've proven throughout the season they can beat Boston. They can beat whatever the East got.
They could beat anybody in the West too. They barely have any losses.
They can beat anybody in the West. So you got to give them the benefit of the doubt, in my opinion. So I have Denver in six or seven. So
I had them in six because it's like I could see Minnesota punching them in the mouth this first game, which is what they need to do to really make it a series.
A thousand percent.
If they lose this first game, then my answer might change. But I got them in six. I think they're going to punch them in the mouth the first game. Nuggets win. Then Minnesota wins another one. Then Nuggets clear it out. And that's it. Yeah. But if they punch them in the mouth this first game and win it, then I'm like, okay, the seven sounds feasible. But if they lose, oh, yeah, it's a straight six. Hey, y'all win y'all a couple at home. At any point, it might even be the two at home or the one at home, and then, you know, that one back at home at game five, whatever, and then that's how you make it a six-game series. But, no, it's like that's where I'm seeing it at. And then the only way seven for me is if they win this first one, and they got to really come out swinging this first game. Because if they don't.
OKC Dallas, who wins?
Dallas in seven. I have Dallas in seven. The veteran presence is something you need. Like you mentioned everything for Nuggets. That's what Dallas has when it comes to Luka and Kyrie. They both have been to conference finals. They know what it's like to go deep in
playoffs. Kyrie's won a title.
This is the farthest Shai's ever been in the playoffs. This is the farthest. This second round is the farthest he's ever been.
And it's the furthest he's been, and he's leading the team.
And nobody else has ever been there. I guess you could say Biombo's been somewhere, but he's not. I'm sorry, but you're not really playing to effectively help this team at this point in time. Nobody else has been there to really know what's like the key in.
There's some uncertainty. Orlando Cleveland tomorrow, as we record tonight, Saturday night, Cinco de Mayo, game seven.
I got the Cavs.
Siete in Spanish. So you have the Cavs, right?
I have the Cavs.
I'm rocking with my Magic, but that's just it's a homer pick. It's game seven. This series has been very tight. Mitchell scores 50. Bancaro scores 27.
All the points six. In the fourth was Donovan Mitchell.
It's
the
Mitchell. It's Mitchell. Mitchell. And I think, you know, like the rest of the Cavs are kind of look like they're trending downward and Mitchell's trending upward. Yep. How much can he carry them over another game? I'm not sure. I'll take Orlando, right? So with that being said, all right, so you got the Cavs. Cavs, Boston, who you got?
Boston, easily.
In?
Six. Five. Five.
Okay.
Boston five.
You got Boston at five. I have the Magic winning, so that means I would have Orlando, Boston. I have Orlando in spite because
if it's Boston Magic, I have Boston in six.
If it's Boston Magic, I have Boston in six.
I want to say seven,
and I want Orlando to win. I'm going to put that out there, but I have Boston in six.
I have Boston in six if it's Magic. And the only reason I have Boston in six is Magic because they match up better. Boston versus
they Cavs. They do match up better.
Boston, I have Boston in five. The Cavs' biggest issue now is the fast break defense.
That was what I was going to say. I'm like, if Boston gets out in transition and they're up there just chucking threes, and they're going to draw the bigs out.
They're winning every game. Like, they're winning every game.
And if it's Donovan Mitchell versus the Celtics,
that's what's going to happen. Like, they're winning every game.
You can't win.
Like, yeah. So I have Boston five, Boston six.
And then
for each team.
For each. Okay. So I have Boston and six.
So if
it's Cleveland, also I have Boston and six. So I have Boston six.
All right. I have Knicks and seven.
And I have Pacers. I have Pacers and seven.
All right, well that was a toss up. Like I don't even
hear me out.
That's gonna be bad. I don't know who's gonna win.
Hear me out. If it gets to seven, I think attrition has to start playing a point in some.
Somebody gotta get tired, right? Like somebody gotta get tired.
You're playing against average.
Josh Hart's playing. He averaged 39 minutes in that last series.
But what does Indiana like to do more than anybody?
Like to run.
Run.
So that's what I'm like. They were kind of tired too, though.
They were kind of tired, but their whole Milwaukee's whole thing, they want to slow the game down, right?
Yeah.
New York's whole thing is they want to slow the game down.
They need to slow the game down.
They need to slow this game down. Indiana need to push the pace.
Like, they're running.
They need to go Indy 500 and just put the pedal.
They got track stars. When you're 7 footers running track star like layup lines,
you gotta and I think if you're Rick Carlisle, a smart coach, you see what the Sixers did. They dropped in a 1-2-2 zone and had Oubre, a bigger body, on Brunson. Do you want to put a bigger body on Brunson and attract the foul baiting and the flopping and the flailing? All right, I'll eventually lighten up on Brunson, but it's still fresh, so whatever. The ridiculousness that Brunson wants to do. Plus, you have a guy that coached Brunson for 4 years. He kind of knows Brunson's tendencies, I would think. I think there's an opportunity there for Brunson to get taken out like he did early in the Sixers series. But that puts a lot of the pressure back on Josh Hart, DiVincenzo, Hartenstein, the other guys to like step up again. Like, are they going to be able to come through again? And if they do, then hats off to them. You got to tip your hat. Like the Sixers, you got to just tip your hat. You make the other guys beat you. But if Brunson's going to put up 44 in consecutive games, like, you got to give the Knicks a shot. I think they have a better than decent shot. Hear me out. And if they do beat Indiana, and we both think that they're going to play Boston,
they'll lose to Boston in six.
And that,
hey, at least they made the conference final since the year 2000.
But yeah, shout out to the Sixers.
No, they have 2001 for Sixers. Knicks was 2000. That's crazy.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Sixers are right there. Next up.
Yeah, yeah.
You gotta have a team like I think for Boston to be taken seriously as a championship team by more people, they would have to prove that they can win a knockdown drag out in the mud.
They ain't getting that this playoffs.
They would get it.
They're not getting it from nobody. They're not getting it from nobody.
If you're telling me
the Knicks are going to seven, if we're both saying that, they're gassed out come play Boston because Boston's winning.
Let's say there is unlimited stamina on the Knicks.
There's not. Right? Finals. Tom Thibodeau runs his guys to the ground. Finals.
I'm not saying
this, that the Celtics Knicks will prove to us that they could do it in the finals. That's the only thing I can tell you because you're not getting it nowhere else, Chris. You're not.
I'm gonna let you tell me that if
Knicks take it to seven, we're gonna let the Celtics gonna prove to us that they couldn't win it. They got the chance to do it because they finally played a long, drawn out series. No team in the East is drawing them out.
Thank y'all for listening to another episode of Straight to the Point.
They suck. Name me a team in the East you like besides the Magic right now. All right, man. Like, they'd be a series you like so far this season.
On iTunes.
God. And as we speak, I just want you to know, Timberwolves up 12-2. Nice run. Hey man, they might keep it up. This is what we just talked about. They can finish this off.
I seen this Denver movie before.
It's the same thing.
Call me with 7 minutes left in the third quarter.
It's the same thing on the other side, man. Like, at least the West right now, the second round is gonna be a lot better. It was good in the first round, but a lot nah. I can't even say that. We saw two sweeps in the West. Two sweeps.
And they told me the West was better.
We saw two sweeps.
Thank y'all for listening to another episode of Straight to the Point. If you like what you hear, make sure you tell a friend to tune in. We're still a 5-star rated podcast on iTunes. If you listen to there, leave us a review. Make sure you follow Straight to the Point on all your favorite socials. That's at STTP Podcast. Make sure you follow me at _ Chris Cross.
Follow me at _ JW Hughes. Next week, we're going to be talking NFL. You know,
we talk the draft. We were going to talk the draft today. Whatever.
We got time. NFL
training. It's not like they're going to play week one tomorrow.
We have time. Also, hey, man, we just watched Katie get swept twice in his career. Thought he was y'all goat.
I think you sneaked this on a lot of people. Shout out to Bradley Bill. Losersville.